Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So for those who don't know, my name's Tim Cowles and I lead the team here. And as Matt said, it's really great, one, to all be together on a Sunday, worshipping and just honouring God. But it's great to be here today because actually, as Matt said, we're about to launch a brand new preaching series. And Gardening World sounds about right. And we'll get to that towards the end of the message, really, that I've got for us this morning. I also tried to pick out my best, you know, what looked like a farmer's checkered shirt. You know, I was thinking I should kind of complement it with some wellies, but I didn't have any, and then maybe some light blue jeans, but thought, I want to try and, you know, make myself look a good appearance for us this morning. And so we're launching a brand new series where we're going to be looking at the stories that Jesus told, the parables that he told to his disciples, the parables that he told to like big crowds, the parables that he told to the religious leaders, all of these stories helping us to kind of think about the kingdom that he is building, you know, the kingdom of God. And it's going to be really helpful for us because we're going to be looking at different themes across the series. We're going to be looking at like what does it mean in terms of how we live our lives? You know, what does it mean for us in terms of these stories about how we value this good news that we have? What does it mean about how we should then respond to this in terms of sharing good news? Who likes getting good news? Yeah, I like getting good news. I don't like getting bad news. No one likes getting bad news, right? But we like to get good news. And this is what we have. We have good news that we can bring in and share. And that last part of this series that we're going to be looking at is going to be all about that. Because I don't know about you, but I can kind of feel myself be put off. This language of the gospel feels like, can feel quite scary. But actually, it's about bringing good news. That's what the gospel means. The gospel word means good news. You can bring good news in different ways. And we want to be looking at that. So it's going to be an extended series. We're going to be running it through past Easter, into May, and possibly into June. There's a lot that we've got in store for us to consider. And as an eldership team, do you know Jesus shared over, I think it was like 40 plus parables, you know, all these 40 plus stories. And we're thinking that could take us, we could be here for years, you know, going through all of those. And it probably wouldn't be that bad, you know, to spend doing that time. But we've kind of looked as a team and thought, actually, which ones do we feel are really applicable to us as a church right now in terms of where God's leading us and God's directing us? So the ones that we're going to be bringing, the ones that the team will be bringing to us, are going to be really helpful for us. And I've also wanted to really encourage as we bring these messages, that hopefully there's going to be at least two points. One would be about what does it mean for us generally as a church, individually, but also what are some of these good news themes that we can kind of bring and share with our friends each week? Because every time Jesus tells a story, there's a good news theme that comes through from that that you can just share. It doesn't have to be the end-to-end of all of the message, but it's a good news theme. So we're going to be looking at how we do that. And Jesus kind of shared these stories to disrupt thinking. You know, that's kind of what Jesus was about disrupting the static, the rigidity of the thinking of the culture at the time. And I like hearing a good story. Again, does everyone like hearing a good story? Yeah, yeah. And sometimes with a good story, it allows you to put yourself in the shoes of the characters. It allows you to put yourself in the environment of the story. And you can almost, in some ways, it's easier to bring a story that then has that message around, rather than almost be saying to someone directly, hey, you should do this, or you should think about doing this. If you want to tell me what I should be doing, make up a story for me, right? And just let me immerse myself in it. And then later on, I might clock it, I might not. But that's what Jesus did. He brought these stories to help disrupt some of that thinking and to bring a vision of what the view of the kingdom of God looks like. And I was wondering, as we kind of think about these stories, about how many of the listeners went away, and we hear that in the Bible where you see that a lot of them, the disciples especially, go, I don't understand what's going on. You know, Jesus tells a story, you'll see it come up and time again, and I don't really understand what was going on. And then later we get the benefit of hearing Jesus cover the other side of it where he says what he was trying to say and makes it plain. But I was wondering, how many people do you reckon might have been just going about the mundane in terms of, you know, doing the chores, you know, doing the washing up, you know, carrying stuff, doing their job, and all of a sudden, like, something clicks. They go, oh, I wonder, oh, was Jesus talking about that? I wonder how much of that might have happened later on. Gives me hope that, you know, if you bring a message, they kind of think, everyone goes, I don't know what you're talking about, Tim. Be like, please, Lord, later on, you know, let there be a hope of it. So we're going to hear a lot over this series of Jesus referring to the kingdom of God, or he might refer to the kingdom of heaven. Now, the difference between the two is there's not really much difference. It's usually about the authorship of the gospel writer as to the sensitivity of for Jesus to describe the kingdom of God. For some of the Jewish listeners, they've had a sensitivity about hearing that. So Jesus might, the writer of the gospel might have been saying the kingdom of heaven instead, because that's received differently. Okay, so when you hear kingdom of God, you hear kingdom of heaven, it's meaning the same emphasis, okay? And as we go through, when you hear that, what we're thinking of, I want to encourage you, what we're thinking of is the rule and reign of the king. Okay, we have a king now, and so if you would say the kingdom of United Kingdom of Britain, or United Kingdom, not of Britain, but United Kingdom, if we were to go and share, we'd be sharing of the king's reign. Okay, the king's reign, the king's rule. And that is what Jesus is bringing about, a picture of what is the king's reign. God is our king. He sits on the throne in heaven. He's a good king. We've been singing of that this morning. And when we hear the word kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, Jesus is talking about what the king's rule and reign looks like. And we know it's good because it's a saving kingdom. Part of his entire reign is to bring about salvation, bring about redemption, bring about, you know, healing of hearts and redemption. For us first, this is a two-parter, for our human hearts, and then secondly, for the entire world, the entire creation to be restored. It's a two-part, which leads into what we'll also see as we kind of go through these parables, a balance between, or a tension between, the kingdom of God is already here, and the kingdom of God is also to come, because there's a two-parter to it. Jesus has come, and he's his death and his resurrection, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit means the kingdom of God is here among us, among his people. But it's also to come, okay? So it's here, and it's also to come. So in terms of the context of what we might see across these parables, Jesus might be balancing between the two in terms of a picture of what is to happen, but also is what is going on right now. Are we all suitably confused? Great, excellent. That's, again, later on, hopefully, Lord. So as the saying goes, what are the only two things that are guaranteed in life? Anyone know? Only two things that are guaranteed in life. As a death and taxes, the only two things that are guaranteed in life. Hey, young people, you get an allowance right now, maybe, maybe not. But imagine when you start earning your job, you're going to find out taxation, and it sucks. It's great for the kingdom, obviously, naturally good for the whole running of the government. But when you see it come out of you, thinking, oh, I'm going to get this much, and you go, oh, no, that's not what I'm going to get. The tax man's going to take a percentage of that. So maybe, I know parents with their allowances, maybe you should put a taxation just to prepare them. You know, maybe you should put a little line, like, just, you know, send them a bill each month and say, this is what this goes towards, little taxation. Leave that with you to think through. But perhaps there's another thing that's guaranteed in life, not just TEF, not just taxes, but another thing that's guaranteed that we're going to pick up in today's story. And today we're going to be looking at the parable of the growing seed. And so that's why we've got a good amount of stuff over here that we're going to get to later on. And this story is wedged between a number of other stories that Jesus tells. It's in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and it's the one where he tells a story of the parable of the sower, where we're going to get to that, actually. So I'm not going to explain it, because we're going to cover that in the series. But he also says a one about a lamp. And the emphasis there is about our light shining. What's been given to us is being revealed. And another story about a mustard seed that follows immediately after this one. I'd encourage us just to get kind of immerse ourselves in these stories just across this next series. You know, even if the ones we're covering, ones we're not covering, you don't have to wait and think, I'm going to wait until that comes up on the schedule. Just immerse yourself in the stories that Jesus tells right now. Get ourselves going with it. But he tells of a kingdom in the mustard seed, of a kingdom that will start small and will become absolutely massive, will become the largest kingdom going. And in the middle is this distinct parable that Jesus tells about a growing seed. And it's only in the Gospel of Mark. Quite a lot of the other parables appear in multiple different Gospels, but this one is only appears in the Gospel of Mark. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read it through together. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to us. Lord, we thank you that he came to reveal the way to you. Thank you, Lord, that in my simplicity, he used stories to point of what your kingdom looks like, the beauty of what being under your rule and reign looks like. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that as we look at this story this morning that Jesus shared, that it would encourage us, and that, Lord, that we'd be coming out of here inspired for what you've got planned before us to do. So, Lord, please will you help us and Lord, really anoint what you want to land this morning. Amen. So I think the words will come up on the screen behind me, but we're looking at Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29. And this is what it says. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. So remember from earlier, we're saying, talking of the king's reign, authority, rule, to bring about saving. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. There are two aspects I just want to share with us this morning in this message. Firstly, I want us to talk about process, just the process of what we saw there. Talk about process. And secondly, I just want to take a look at perspective, a kingdom view. So in terms of this process, we see that there's an individual, there's some seed, there's the ground, and there's some farm tools. So this person, Jesus referring to this farmer, this person who's scattering the seed, and the context of the previous, and he's framing it in the context of the previous parables in terms of there's just been one about the sower. So he's kind of bringing it more about, let's look at it from a different perspective. And so this individual, we would refer to as someone who, you know, would believe in the message of Jesus' death, his resurrection and saving power, someone who's received this new citizenship. So he's part of the kingdom. This is someone who's part of the kingdom and someone who is just scattering seed as part of that. You know, every day scattering seed that points to the goodness of the kingdom that we have received. And I kind of thought, well, how could we help understand that today a little bit, as by way of encouragement, you know? And so I brought some Kinder Surprise. Anyone like a Kinder Surprise? I actually think I had one of these at Christmas, and I thought Kinder chocolate is very underrated. So, you know, I would encourage some of those. But there's actually no chocolate on display for us. But I'd love to get some help with some examples of these. So Robin, can I ask you to kind of, all you have to do is read for me. So if you can just grab, take one of those out of there. Yeah, if you pop it open, so it just needs to give it a squeeze on the side, yeah. Yeah, you just squeeze it in that. Yep, perfect. Just examples of scattering seed. If you could just read this for me. Right.
A friend was going through a difficult time in a relationship, and I offered to pay for them.
Pray. Sorry, that's my... Sorry. Sorry. Thank you. Can I just ask you to pick one out? Oh, sorry. Yes. Oh, it just popped on there. If you squeeze it inside. Yes.
Okay. What does it say? A family member hurt me, and with God's help, I forgave them, and we reconciled.
Grace, can I ask you to read one? I'm just going to come across.
A colleague was asking why I'm always so calm, and I shared a verse from the Bible that I have memorized to help me.
Thank you. That's great. I'm going to come around to the other side. I don't want the other side to feel neglected, you see, so I'm going to come over here. John Priddy, would you read one for me? Yes.
A colleague asked me what I did at the weekend. I shared what happened at church on Sunday.
Hey Reuben, can I ask you to read one as well? There you go. Thank you. You want to get through the box quicker than we have? Packed them full tea. That's done here.
A neighbor was feeling low, so I sent them a worship song that gives me encouragement when I'm feeling down.
See, these are just everyday things, right? These are just everyday things when we talk about just scattering of seeds. Different things that we can just do on an everyday. So we talk about like, oh, I scattered seed and think, well, I need to give someone a 4-hour understanding of the gospel. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. We're seeing that we scatter things out there. And we sort of, in the everyday, we just point in different ways to what God's done in our lives. That's all it is. We're just pointing about the kingdom coming in different areas, whether that's through worship, through offering to pray for someone, through giving a verse that we've been encouraged by, through just sharing, actually, what do you do on Sunday? Hey, all of those who get asked, I opened a Kinder Egg in church. What's all that about? Well, let me tell you. You know, let me tell you. See how that conversation just shares? You know, we're just dropping things in there about what was happening, you know, different things that we can do, practical help, words of encouragement, demonstrating, you know, gratitude. We're living out kingdom values. You know, we're living out the kingdom values, and we're living out what, you know, our vision that we've got here to love God, love one another, and do mission together as we help in our community and demonstrate our love for everyone. Deliberate kingdom living in the everyday. And then at the end of the story, we see the scatterer just has another task to do. You know, they get involved in a time of the harvest, where these seeds that have been planted come up, they're flourishing, they're full, the grain is full, the head is in the kernel, it's ready, it's ripe. And in that moment, there's an opportunity for us to be involved again, in terms of offering to, you know, say, actually, are you ready to get involved in the life of the church? Are you ready to give your life to the Lord? You know, that's what we get involved in. But what happens in the middle? What happens in the middle of this story? What happens in the middle of this story is a bit of a mystery. The scattering individual, they throw the seed down, and then they have nothing further to do at the stage. That's what the story says. They have nothing further to do. Night and day, whether he sleeps or he gets up. We share. Hey, it's good news for us, right? We share. Then we rest. That's nice, isn't it? Hey, you know what? If you've put yourself out there and you said, you know what? I'm going to just share one of those sorts of things. You go have a good lie down, okay? You've earned that lie down. You know, you go and have a good lie down, good rest, and you can get up again. But the kingdom is at work. The kingdom is at work. The seed sprouts and grows. The kingdom of God is in many ways a mystery. It is in many ways a mystery, but it happens. But it happens all by itself. The soil produces grain. This is what it says. There is a produce that comes. The kingdom takes root and it expands and it grows, and we do not know how. How does that happen? I don't know, but it happens. That's what we see here. You know, how is it that when I'm unexpected, a friend gets in touch out of the blue and asks for support or something to go, you know, help with or around a moment of faith? But when I'm actively trying, I'm thinking, oh, there's a moment here, there's a window that I'm gonna try and bring about a sort of an encouragement of faith and kind of bring it, and it goes, oh, that falls flat. How is it that that happens? Because there's a mystery around it. There's a mystery that exists here. Does anyone else experience that, what I was just describing, sort of feeling like something randomly versus when you're trying really hard, it feels like nothing happens? It feels like these things happen. The kingdom of God is at work in hearts of those around us, and it's a mystery. But God knows what's going on. God knows what's going on, even if we don't get to see it. As part of this process, another thing that we see here is it takes time. The seed, well, it can take time, I suppose. The seed sits under the surface. There's stages. It sprouts and grows. And then what do we read earlier? Let's scroll back up. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And even then, as soon as the grain is ripe, it's a process and stages. And we don't need to be, we need to allow ourselves not be so worked up, I think, about as much as all or nothing right now in this moment. You know, there's a process for some. For others, that might not be the case. But there's a mystery around it. But it grows. You know, that's what we're seeing here, is it grows. You can't grow an oak tree in 12 months. Ever thought about thinking, I'm going to just want a 40-year-old oak tree in 12 months? It doesn't happen. But what we want to see here in the church is we want to see mighty oak trees grown, right? We want to see mighty oak trees grown over the course of however long that takes. Oak trees that produce a further fruit, you know, fivefold, tenfold, 60-fold, whatever that might be. Jesus talks about that in the parables earlier. So here's some key messages around this. Scatter where you are. Scatter where you are. Wherever you are, scatter. Whether that's in your street, in your workplace, in your family, in your social groups, in your school, in your college, wherever you are, scatter. And scatter and watch and wait. Watch and wait. And I know it can be hard, because I kind of always can get impatient. Anyone else impatient? Yes, a lot of us are impatient. Also, there's no wasted activities. Please hear that there are no wasted activities. If you feel like I've just, like I was describing earlier, that fell flat. There's no wasted activities in the kingdom of God. When you scatter, that is a great thing. Well done. There's nothing that's wasted there. It goes into the ground. And then we leave it for God. We leave it for God. You know, what is God's saving power like? It is the difference between empty, barren wastelands and flourishing fields full of grain ready to harvest. That's the difference of his saving power, from empty wastelands to flourishing fields. I want to just share about perspective from this story. One perspective is God's kingdom produces a harvest. His kingdom produces a harvest. There's a guarantee, there is inevitable from what we read here. The kingdom produces a harvest. It expands in the every life, in the everyday, the hearts it touches, a harvest is produced. That's what we read here. I just wanted to share some findings for us from a research group. So it's an American-based research group. This was done last January 22. Here's just some things for us to consider. There's like 7 points in there. I'm just going to read a few. Second point is Christianity continues to grow. Could just leave it there. Amen. Right? Christianity continues to grow. There are, it's an estimate of about 2.56 billion people will identify as Christian by the middle of 2022. And by 2050, that number is expected to be around 3.3 billion. The kingdom of God grows. kingdom of God grows. In 1900, less than 1 million people around the world identified as Pentecostal or charismatic Christians, which, you know, as a collective, probably in the region of where we would align ourselves. By 2050, that number will top 1 billion, according to the Global Christianity Report. 1 billion. God's kingdom grows. Growth is fastest in the global south. By this, we're not talking geographically. There's a global north and the global south. The global north represents the first world countries, as it were, in terms of, like, you know, output and economic growth, etc., like that. And we're saying actually the fastest growth is in the global south. The countries that would be traditionally lined up as sort of third world countries. Africa is the fastest growing place where the kingdom of God is advancing. And that's great news. That is great news. Across all of history, God's kingdom has moved in different places and advanced in different places at faster rates than others at times. It's been, you know, in the Western world, probably in the sort of the 1700s, 1800s, that's where it was moving. And we're seeing it shift. God's kingdom is shifted a little bit in terms of where it's fastest growing is in Africa. But God's kingdom is advancing. We're part of a big family. We're not binary in terms of, like, well, why not here, why there, whatever. God's kingdom, we're all part of the citizenship of God's kingdom, and God's kingdom is advancing. Good news. So this year, 838 million live in the global north, whilst almost 1.1 billion Christians live in Africa and Asia alone. Good news. The percentage of non-Christians who know a Christian is climbing. Good news, right? As the kingdom advances, we get alongside people and people get a chance to hear of the message or see the message being lived out in different people's lives. This is good news, right, church? This is good news. The kingdom of God is advancing. And whilst we might think, oh, in the secular world here in the West, you might think, oh, it feels slower. But the kingdom of God as a whole is advancing. Good news as people are saved, liberated, and added to the kingdom. The responsibility for that kickstart of that growth is not ours. You know, it's not performance-led. It's not a result of you doing your best pitch for Christianity. It's not going to be the difference between someone's heart responding or not responding. That is between them and God. It's not our responsibility. It's a mystery of the kingdom. The responsibility for growth is with God. In terms of the gospel theme to kind of bring through here, the power to save lives isn't in us. Jesus, who we believe is Son of God, came to earth to rescue, to point a direction, because we couldn't do it ourselves, right? We couldn't do it ourselves. We sung one of these songs, we couldn't make up the chasm between us. So Jesus came and he bridged that chasm. He bridged that gap. The theme carries on. I can't help someone. I can't make someone else be saved. But God bridges that gap. He's the one who comes. He's the one who has come. Jesus came, he's lived, modeled, died, resurrected, all for us. All for us. He is the only one who can save. It's not us. But I want to be really clear. This is not a call to inactivity, okay, church? While I'm saying, hey, we don't wash our hands, we don't say, actually, I'm not, nothing to do. This is not a call to inactivity. This is a call to freedom in our activity. Okay, this is a call to freedom in what we do, how we scatter, how we love and serve those around us. Because we scatter the seed goes in the ground, and then there's a mystery. But God's kingdom comes. His kingdom advances. So wherever we find ourselves, we scatter, we bring hope, we bring joy, we bring love that we've received, that we place out. But we trust. As we were singing earlier, just wrote down some of these lyrics. I want to trust in you alone. I'll not be shaken. When it's not happening, I want to trust in you alone. Lord, and pray about these situations. We can pray about them. Lord, please bring growth in loved ones that we want to see saved. Lord, please bring growth. Please bring that. But I'll not be shaken in what's going on, Lord. I'm going to trust in you. I think just as I, for us, let's kind of like close this off. I want us to take confidence in the knowledge that God's kingdom advances. His kingdom grows. Part of why I've been sharing some of this stuff, because his kingdom is growing, his kingdom is advancing, and we get a part to play in that. Right? So there's a freedom in for us in how we respond to this by just being free to scatter and going, actually, God, I'm going to trust in you that as we plant these seeds, and then we want to nurture, you know, as we want to encourage around it, but Lord, we trust in you that something will happen where there's a sprouting, and then over a process of time, relationally, whatever, that actually people will respond to this message of love that you've given us. So I'm going to pray for us. But I want to explain this as well, just before I pray. Because what we're going to do is we're going to have the worship team going to come up. They're going to lead us in the song. We're going to sing that song again, Build My Life. And during that song, if you want to, you don't have to. But if you want to, I'd love to encourage you to come over here. There are some, who likes Cress? Do you know what's great? You can give it away, okay? So, and it's a great story that'll come and I'll explain. But over here, we've got some soil. We've got some Cress seeds. And we've got loads of these pots that you can fit in and use it as an example of this. I want you to take it away as an example of this, where actually you do is you, there's some soil in the soil in your pot, you put the seeds in, put the soil on top, and you do nothing. You do nothing. You just go to sleep, or you wake up again, or you can stare at it, grow, please grow, you know, whatever, you know, but it will sprout. Hopefully it will sprout. God, please let them sprout. Well, I'm saying that you'll put some soil in, seed, soil. I'm not really a gardener because we live in a flat, so I don't really have a garden. But I feel like that's the usual process that follows for these little pots. And the soil is very damp, though, so you can, and then, yeah, put some water in it or something. I don't know. But it's the key thing here that I want you to take these away because they will grow. We have faith that they will grow. And it'll be a reminder to you. It'll be a reminder to you that you scatter and things grow. You scatter, things grow. You haven't made cause for growing, but God's brought about, as with all our plants, all our sort of agriculture, it's very literal. There's a mystery that, you know, scientists are probably still trying to figure out is why the seeds grow in the ground, but it's a blessing from God as the breath in our lungs that God's kingdom grows. And so if you take these away, watch them do the same sort of thing, probably sprout underneath, and then you'll start to see them start to peek through, right? And then once they are ready for harvest, if you don't like cress, you can chop it up, give it away, and say to someone, oh, where's this cress come from? Well, let me tell you where it came from. There was a story, a preacher at church that spoke about this, and you can bring that to them. And then you can plant some more and do some more. And I think also if you have a bigger plant pot, these are biodegradable, so I think you could stick it in there if you want a continuous supply of cress, I suppose. It's a blessing. We'll get an income stream for the church just for the sales of cress if we all take it away. So we're going to sing a song during that time. Come up and do some planting. Yeah, come up, team. And I'll pray for us as we do. So why don't we stand as we get ready to worship together? I just want to pray for us. Father, we are so pleased and so encouraged that your kingdom grows. Your kingdom expands. There is an inevitability about this in these verses that say, your kingdom grows. And there will be a harvest. It produces. The soil produces growth. Lord, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, we want to lift up our brothers and sisters across the world who are meeting on Sundays and meeting in their places, in their communities, and Lord, say, please, Lord, will your kingdom come? Lord, will your kingdom come? And Lord, we want to pray that your kingdom will come here in Shepparton, in this surrounding area that we support and we love as a church. Lord, we're so thankful that your kingdom is advancing. And that is great news. That is good news. Thank you. Lord, and thank you that we get to be a part of that. Lord, we pray, please, Lord, will you encourage us to scatter. Scatter good news, good hopes, encouragements, our love, joy, in wherever we find ourselves to be. And Lord, we pray that they take root, that they that there's a sprouting that takes place, that we will see many lives come to know you and respond to the goodness of who you are. Lord, please will you free us from the burden of feeling that we're the ones responsible for the success or the failure of the growth. Lord, there's a mystery of the kingdom that exists here. And Lord, we want to give that to you and say, Lord, we trust in you. Lord, we'll trust to watch patiently. We'll trust to wait on your timing. But Lord, help us to continue to scatter in good faith that we will see, especially those loved ones around us, come to know you soon. Lord, we pray. Lord, fill us anew. Lord, and I pray for us as a church that, Lord, that we would be a church that will go from this place and across this whole series, Lord, that would be inspired and encouraged to be the hands and feet of you, to love where we are, to bring hope where we are, joy where we are, peace where we are, the kingdom values of who you are. Lord, please will you bless us mightily. Amen.